10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
This is Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter.
A father accused of locking his adopted son inside a cage. Join us as we hear the facts behind these charges
through live courtroom audio from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
So it's fair to say your opinion. So give me your opinion again in like sum it up, because I'm a little vague on it. What is the opinion you are trying to, as an expert psychiatrist, convey to this jury?
What I've given multiple opinions. What opinion would you like to know that I can repeat?
Something that a psychiatrist would opine on.
That the parents' treatment of Roman was psychologically abusive. It was physical abusive. It was neglectful. It put him at a serious risk of harm and health issues, or even worse. It was cruel. It was malicious. It was dehumanizing. It was degrading. It was very damaging to his identity, his self-esteem, his whole adjustment to life, being put in this kind of a solitary confinement situation.
And knowing what RAD is, and that there are, as we discussed already earlier, that we don't know what Ronan's first 17 months was like before he was adopted, are you taking the opinion that he does or does not suffer from reactive attachment disorder?
I would concur that he had signs of reactive attachment disorder when he was younger. In fact, one of the pieces of that was early on, when he was an early toddler. His mother said that he was just really resistant to being cuddled, which is sort of a classic sign of reactive attachment disorder.
And that would be something in line with what would have happened to him in the first 17 months of his life, correct? That would have been that's a very likely cause for that reactive attachment disorder.
Knowing all we do, yes, that would line up.
Okay. And is it your opinion that that Tim Ferriter caused the reactive attachment disorder?
No.
Okay.
Did his behavior exacerbate it and bring signs of it back? I would say yes. But okay. He didn't cause it. It was caused by his first 17 or so months in Vietnam.
You also know, though, from review of all the records we've already talked about here today, that he was given medical advice, and he followed that advice, right?
Objection.
Sustained.
Are you aware if Mr. Ferreter was provided any medical advice to deal with the reactive attachment disorder?
What I'm aware of is that Ronan was taken to several counselors when he was starting when he was younger, and what kind of struck me was he didn't stay with any counselor more than really a few sessions, and then he wouldn't go anymore, and then later he would go to another counselor and see them maybe once or twice or three times, and then it would stop. So I question why there was not consistency and follow-through with the first or the second or the third counselor to try to treat his problems. I don't know the answer to that.
And is it, if I were to tell you hypothetically that Tim Ferreter was provided medical guidance from all the records we've looked at, and that he attempted to follow that as best he and his family could under the circumstances, would that change your opinion in any way?
Improper objection, improper question.
Approach. All right, the objection is sustained. You need to rephrase, Mr. Waheed.
So, Doctor, if Mr. Ferreter was provided medical advice and relied upon it, would that change your opinion?
About his treatment of Ronan in the solitary confinement or the physical abuse? I mean, no, I don't see how it would. I don't think any professional gave him advice to put your child in solitary confinement or physically abuse the child or withhold meals for punishment or take his one book away as punishment or turn the lights out. No, I don't. It wouldn't.
In terms of if any of the behavior of Tim Ferreter, do you believe it was in response to Ronan? Because we had a conversation earlier about chicken and egg, or you did. So your position is that Mr. Ferreter's the chicken and Ronan's the egg. Based on that question I just asked you, which is if hypothetically Mr. Ferreter was provided medical advice and relied upon it in his journey with Ronan, would that change your opinion as to who's the chicken and who's the egg in this scenario?
The easy answer is no, but I don't know how it would. But as I said earlier, Mr. Ferreter didn't cause the original reactive attachment disorder problem.
Correct. So did Mr. Ferreter, so the short answer you just gave is no, it wouldn't change your opinion, correct?
Correct.
On direct, you talked about the juvenile detention center. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And you were talking about what the confinement looks like, correct?
Yes.
And you were talking about how it isn't pitch black in there.
Right.
All right. But there is a thing called lights out at a juvenile detention center, correct?
Yes, but there's enough lighting where officers can do their rounds and look in and see all the kids. So it's not pitch black, but the lights are dimmed down, so it's easier for the kids to sleep.
You wrote an article that I reviewed where you talked about the type of violence that happens at juvenile detention centers, correct?
You mean towards the kids?
Yes. towards the kids or from the kids to each other?
I'm going to object as to relevance.
Sustained. Unless you want to approach Mr. Waheed.
No. It's fair to say you've written substantially on juvenile crime, correct?
Yes. Juvenile violence and homicide in particular, yes.
And you're familiar with the term school-to-prison pipeline, correct?
I'm going to object as to relevance.
Sustained.
As far as you know, based on all the records you reviewed, Mr. Fairder never called the police on his child, did he?
Object as to relevance.
Sustained.
About what are the options for parents who have a child with reactive attachment disorder in terms of private pay solutions?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
Go sidebar, Judge, on that.
You can approach. All right, the objection is sustained. Next question.
Doctor, now, a couple hours ago, I asked you about the ability to opine on a diagnosis without having evaluated a patient or an individual. And you'd asked me to show you the section. May I approach, Judge?
You can approach Ms. Coakley first. And then you can approach the witness, Mr. Wade. Take the mic with you if you're going to be speaking.
Showing you the section 7, and I think I earlier stated it was section 7 sub 3 of the principles of medical ethics with annotations, especially applicable to psychiatrists.
This is called the Goldwater Rule. It had to do with Barry Goldwater when he was running for president, and there was a poll about whether he was fit to be president or not. That's where this came from. And I've been in committees trying to rewrite this because I was on the ethics committee for 18 years. So I'm very familiar with this. And that doesn't exclude us if we're asked for a professional opinion.
What is the rule?
unless you've been granted proper authorization for such a statement. So being an expert witness for the court would be proper authorization to offer my professional opinions.
If you could just read the whole thing for the jury, just because they don't know what you're looking at.
Okay. On occasion, psychiatrists are asked for an opinion about an individual who is in the light of public attention and who has disclosed information about himself, herself through the media, that is, that person in the light of attention. In such circumstances, a psychiatrist may share with the public his or her expertise about psychiatric issues in general. However, it is unethical for a psychiatrist to offer a professional opinion unless he or she has conducted an examination and has been granted proper authorization for such a statement. And it should say there, from that person in light of public attention. So this is really about talking heads getting on TV and talking about somebody and making a psychiatric diagnosis, say some serial killer or some other, typically those sorts of crimes, where the psychiatrist will make opinions without having done an examination.
Without
having anything to go on other than what they've learned about from, say, the media. So it's trying to stop that sort of attention-seeking behavior by people who like to get attention being on one of these talking head shows, to put it bluntly.
There's no exception in the rule, though, written, correct?
Unless you're granted appropriate legal authorization or whatever it is. Yes.
Thank you.
No other questions?
All right. Ms. Coker, how long do you expect on your redirect? Because we've been going over an hour. I want to give the jury. All right, I'm going to give the jury a 10-minute break then before we go to the redirect. It's 4:20. We'll be in recess until 4:30. And, sir, same instruction. All right, everyone can be seated. Before I let the attorneys go, my feeling is that we'll conclude with his redirect and then we'll be done for the day.
I decided to put in a few more ring videos, and so I have the witness here just to put those in. That should be like 1 minute.
Okay, but my understanding was you have a substantial amount of other publications or publishing that you're going to do, so that's going to have to wait until tomorrow. Oh, you have another witness?
Yeah, I'm just going to put the detective on again.
All right, we need to squeeze every minute out of the day that we have. So if you can finish that witness and we don't keep the folks, because one of the jurors indicated a problem staying after five today, so I don't want to push that. All right, that'll be fine. Okay, all right, good enough. All right, sir, you can step down during the break and just obviously same instruction. Don't speak with anyone regarding your testimony. Daniel, did you hear that Judge Weiss is going to be covering my docket tomorrow? And we'll start the trial at 8:30 tomorrow. Okay.
Court's in recess.
All right, all sides ready to proceed? All right, let's let the witness take the stand again. Do we have the witness?
You're on mute.
All right, Mark, as soon as the witness takes the stand, you can bring the jurors out. All rise. All right, everyone may be seated.
No, that's a connected.
All right, Ms. Coakley, you may go ahead and begin.
So just to go back to that Goldwater Doctrine, are you allowed to opine on whether or not the President of the United States has a psychological condition based on their interviews on television?
No.
Are
it's
you
considered unethical to do that?
Would you be allowed to just watch the TV coverage of this case and come in and do an opinion?
No.
Is it permissible to, as part of a court proceeding, review all the records involved and opine in certain circumstances?
Yes.
Now, there was a lot of questioning on cross-examination about whether or not Tim Ferriter acting on the advice of medical personnel would change your opinion. Was there any indication in the record you reviewed that the defendant in this case was advised to treat his son how he did?
No, there was not.
Was there any indication from any of the people involved that it was appropriate to confine his child for multiple hours a day?
No.
Was there any indication that any medical professional ever told him that he should keep his child in a room in the dark for hours during the day?
No.
Was there any indication that any medical professional said that the child should be deprived of access to a bathroom?
No.
Would that be a medically acceptable treatment for any condition?
No. I can't think of one.
What? You can't think of one?
I can't.
Now, I want to talk for a second about some of the specifics that you testified to. There was a little bit of a talk about the oppositional defiant disorder diagnosis by Ms. Martin. Was she a doctor or a clinical licensed social worker?
She's a social worker.
Okay. So that wasn't a diagnosis that was done by a doctor?
Correct.
In addition, that was in the year, was that what year about thereabouts was that?
That should have been 2015 when he was, let's see, eight.
2015 or would it be six?
It was 2015.
Leading, is that the sustained rephrase?
Well, how old would he have been?
He was eight.
And in general, did you see or were you able to tell how often he was, there was any kind of intervention for that or how often he met that licensed clinical social worker?
Sorry.
Okay.
I was looking.
Was it more than a handful of times?
I'm wrong. It was. Yes. Okay. I'm with you. We're talking about Kathleen Martin.
Right.
Yes. And that was, I have in my records September to November of 2015 when he would have been eight in second grade.
So a 3 month period.
If that, I have doc. I could only find three sessions: the intake and then a couple of those, a couple others.
And is, in reviewing of the records that were made available to you, is she the only practitioner that found that oppositional defiant disorder?
Susan Martin, in the same year, a counselor also who saw him, very limited notes from her as well, but she had ODD as a diagnosis or possibility.
And would that not reflect later on? Was that reflected in the findings of the other people he saw, like in 2018 and 2019, which would be like Dr. Reinbacher?
Yeah, he focused more on the ADHD. I believe ODD may have surfaced.
Okay. Now, or was he, take a look, was he just reactive attachment disorder and ADHD?
Yes.
Now, is there a treatment for oppositional defiant disorder, if it in fact is accurate?
Yes.
Does it involve locking a child in a room?
No.
Does it involve isolation or confinement of a child?
No.
Would it be just therapy and medicine?
Yes.
Now, is there any indication that that was pursued for Ronan beyond those three appointments that you told us about?
No, and that's what I could never sort of find a reason in these couple therapists he went to as to why it just stopped after one or two or three sessions. There was no sort of explanation. It just stopped.
Now, we also discussed with defense that there was a diagnosis at some point in his history for ADHD. Is confining a child a treatment for that?
No.
Now, we talked about what Dr. Reichenbacher found between 2000 and the end of 2018 and the beginning of 2019, about how old was Ronan at that point.
He would have been 11 at that time.
And even then, with the reactive attachment disorder and the ADHD, is it a treatment for a reactive attachment disorder to confine a child for long periods of time?
No.
And in Dr. Reinbacher's records, is there a reflection or a consideration about whether or not Ronan is experiencing aggression?
You're saying, does it address that?
Yeah, does it address whether or not that is a symptom that he is struggling with?
Well, January, it says, of 2019, it says he's doing better with not getting angry, and he's been apologizing. And then in May, it says he's not having severe aggression and that he's having adequate behavior at school. And that's in May of 2019.
And is that, based on the records that you reviewed, the last professional intervention with a psychiatrist, psychologist, or a clinical social worker in 2019?
Yes. That's it.
In total, about how many times did he even see Dr. Reichenbach?
A handful of times, four or five, maybe six, something like that.
So sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You said four or five times?
Four or five, maybe six.
Now, you mentioned that you had some disagreements about, or maybe some questions about the diagnoses that Dr. Reichenbacher came to. Is it important for a psychiatrist when making a differential diagnosis to know something like the conditions in which the child is living?
It's extremely important, yes. I mean, is the child being abused? Is the child being neglected? Is the child in solitary confinement? And around the end of the time that Dr. Reichenbacher was seeing him, that was occurring, and there's nowhere in the notes he had any idea of that.
Would that be important information that would influence an expert making an opinion about the cause of some type of behavior by a child?
No, absolutely. That would be a huge influence on your assessment of why the child's having problems at school.
I want to talk for a second about some of the school misbehaviors that the defense went into. You talked about behaviors that started occurring in a cluster in February of 2019. Does that coincide with when he starts to be confined in a room in a garage in Arizona?
Yes, it does.
And can that type of treatment impact his behavior?
I believe it would have had a huge impact on his behavior, yes.
Now, when we talk about like the correspondence for these types of behavioral problems, are you also seeing very minor infractions committed behaviorally?
Yes.
Things like bad language?
Yes.
Stealing a piece of candy?
Yes.
Now, are those, even with the acts of a mutual combat with another child, getting into a fight with another child, are those the level of behavioral issues that you would expect with a child that has a severe conduct or attachment disorder?
He doesn't have a conduct disorder per se. I mean, that's a diagnosis. I would say he has conduct disorder. Okay. I don't think you mean that.
What do you think I mean? What do I mean? Tell
me. You mean a behavioral?
Yes. It's someone who has a behavioral problem that is clinically severe. Would you expect to see a higher level of behavioral problems in their life?
Yeah, you would. Even with a child with reactive attachment disorder, they're going to, or symptoms of it, they're going to have some delay and maybe not, they're not going to be so great at their psychosocial skills or social skills, so they can get into more likely to get into conflicts or be teased by other kids.
As far as like the level of adverse behaviors that Ronan's experience is indicating, would you consider these to be severe behaviors that based on the records from the school?
No, not at all. One of the most telling things is he never even got suspended. So often in my own practice, for instance, I'll see kids that age, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15. If they get into a fight, they get suspended. It's sort of like the intent of the child and how severe is it. And so he's never once been suspended, which really tells you that this nothing really rose to a particularly severe level of aggression.
That fist fight that we read that email about, did both children get punished?
They did, yes.
Now, did you see in the review of the records, was there any indication that at any point Ronan had an IEP or any kind of individual educational plan to address behavioral issues at the school?
No, I didn't see that, no.
Was there an indication that the school was told that he didn't have behavioral issues in some cases?
That he did or didn't?
Did not.
Yes, there were.
Tell us about that.
Well, there's some notes from the school that say that in general Ronan's been doing fine this year and there hasn't been any problems. And then the other thing is when I had mentioned how many days of school he's been in the 5 years up to being put in the box, we're really talking about hundreds and hundreds of days at school, and yet we only have these isolated handful of events, whatever it is, 10 or 15, based on the email. So really you're talking about a boy who's getting in trouble not very frequently at all when you look at the 180 school days a year.
Now, when we're talking about the communication that the defendants had with the child's school indicating that they were notified of the punishment and they were going to address it, is there any indication that the defendants notified the school that the way that they were going to address it was to confine the child in a room in their garage?
No.
Did they ever inform the school of the living situation of which they were subjecting the child to?
No.
Now, you also talked briefly about a report by another licensed clinical social worker, Kenny Miller. In reviewing his report, was there a bias in his report that you perceived?
I need you to approach. Objection sustained. Rephrase the question, Ms. Coakley.
The report of the social worker, Kenny Miller, did you take into consideration the timing of when it was issued?
Yes, I did.
When was it issued?
After the Ferreters were arrested.
And was it based in large part on their representations to Mr. Miller?
It was, yes.
And so did that have an impact on how much you weighed his conclusions?
It did, yes, because I didn't see that he had any exposure or access to all the other information in this case that would have, I think, improved his ability to understand what exactly was going on with Ronan and the parenting.
Now, lastly, the defense asked you about your ability as a psychiatrist to opine that something is malicious. Is it in your realm of expertise to make a clinical assessment of parents' behaviors, especially in the cases of abuse?
Oh, yes. I mean, commonly.
Is that something that psychiatrists, medical doctors like yourself, especially forensic psychiatrists, commonly do?
Yes.
And based on all your training and experience and also the active literature, are you able to, as a psychiatrist, to opine that this conduct was malicious and harmful?
Yes, and those physical abuse or psychological abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, those are actually diagnostic categories in the DSM.
But you,
so
you
we need to put those in the record when we believe that they're occurring so we have an accurate representation in the medical record of what we have opined about the patient.
You believe that was occurring here?
I believe what?
You believe that was occurring here, abuse and neglect?
Yes.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir, that concludes your testimony.
I'm sorry. May I request a brief recross on something that...
Approach. All right, the request for recross is denied. That concludes your testimony, sir. You may step down. Thank you for being here. You have one more witness. It's going to be very quick, yeah. Ms. Coakley. All right, call your next witness.
You swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
All right, Ms. Coakley, you may begin.
Detective Lowe, can you just introduce yourself quickly?
Yes, I'm Christopher Lowe, agent with the Jupiter Police Department, and my role there is a digital forensic agent.
We met you yesterday,
yes,
and
ma'am.
Talked to you a lot. Did you make a further further exhibits for the court as it relates to some of the Ring video?
I did.
Yesterday, we entered in a few videos related to the rocks and the shells. Did you expand that time period to include those videos that are already admitted, but also the surrounding time frame of that?
Yes.
That is what contains on these USB drives?
Correct.
Are they a true and accurate depiction of the videos that you retrieved from Ring as a result of the lawful search warrant in this case?
They are.
Your Honor, at this time, I'd like to move them in as...
Your next number is 20 and 21.
I'll do them, yes.
You've got two. Is it 20 and 21?
Yes.
Any objection?
Your Honor.
All right, court receives and accepts State's Exhibit 20 and 21 in evidence without objection.
That's all the questions I have, Your Honor.
All right, any cross?
No, Your Honor.
All right, sir, that concludes your testimony. You may step down. Thank you for being here again. And you're not excused from all proceedings yet, as you know. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we're late in the day now, so we're gonna go ahead and break. We're still in the state's portion of the case. It will continue tomorrow. As I advised you this morning, because of my expectation that we are behind schedule, we're gonna try to squeeze as much out of the days going forward as possible so we can get this trial concluded. Which means for tomorrow, your schedule is going to be different than it was today. I'm shooting for an 8:30 sharp start time for the trial. I've cleared my morning docket, so everything is put in place so that 8:30 should not be a problem. You need to check in with the jury office no later than 8 o'clock and meet my deputy at the elevators by quarter after so he can get you into the jury room. You can get settled, and then we'll shoot for the 8:30 start time. Remember, during the break, don't discuss the case with each other or anyone else. Do any kind of research. And again, I know at the risk of stating the obvious at this point, make sure you do everything possible to avoid any inadvertent media exposure. Because I don't know that I ask you that. I think I did ask you that this morning. I'm trying to ask it every morning. I will ask you that again tomorrow to make sure that no one has been exposed inadvertently to any media exposure. So with that, same instruction, go home, rest, relax, have a good dinner, and I'll see you tomorrow morning. All right, everyone may be seated. So before I let you folks go, you can be seated. Where are we with the state's case at this point? How much more video do you anticipate publishing? So be the state's case will take the better part, or maybe it sounds like the entirety of the morning, so we should anticipate starting the defense case probably shortly after lunch. Is that a fair estimate? Ms. Black's rolling her eyes, so I'm thinking that may mean that I'm off on my estimate. Well, we can't allow that. We can work the schedule. That's within the courthouse here, right? Yeah, we can work the schedule out. If the video recording is 4 hours, if that's what you anticipate publishing, that's going to take us with breaks and stuff. We're going to be to 12:30 or 1 anyway, and maybe we break late for lunch and make it from 1 to 2. But in any event, the anticipation is to start the defense case tomorrow sometime in the afternoon, which based on the timing and chronology of things at this point, we are assured of going into Tuesday. And then I'll make a decision tomorrow of whether it's going to be Tuesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. I will tell you the odds are it's going to be Tuesday, Thursday. I still need to address the one issue with the juror tomorrow morning with respect to the flight arrangements. And depending on what her situation is, she's asking now. So what is she asking for? Whether she can be reimbursed or she can't be reimbursed. I've already done the background work on that. So she has it would be $140 per ticket, so a $280 cancellation fee. I'm inclined not to force her to have to cancel, so I would give consideration to starting it on Wednesday, and that's gonna require significant changes on my part with the schedule next week. But I'll make that decision tomorrow. I'm not prepared to tell her what I'm going to do today. Okay. All right. Anything else I need to address before we break for today? Tomorrow will be a long day. My plan is to go from 8:30 to 6. Although I'll be guided somewhat by what you tell me, Ms. Murad, and you, Mr. Wahid, as to where you are. You know you're going to get all day Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, one of those days. So if it makes sense to break at 5, you tell me. And as long as we're not pushing it into another day other than Tuesday or Wednesday.
Judge, I would ask to break at 5 tomorrow. So I have 3 witnesses that are civilians I can put on tomorrow, 2 of which are by Zoom. I don't think they will be that long.
Okay. Right.
Agent Lowe.
Is that the only reason you would need Agent Lowe is for the authentication? All right, so you do what you have to do. I, if you're trying to establish that, I don't know how we, I'm assuming the state wouldn't stipulate to that, right?
No, it was like a lot of
things that have to happen. Okay. All right, well, if you want to break at 5, I don't think I have a real problem given the fact that we're not going to finish tomorrow under any stretch of the imagination. I'll let you know tomorrow as to the moving parts here in terms of the schedule. The one juror doesn't return until Tuesday night, so I have to make a decision whether I bust the jury in terms of knocking. She's in the number 5 spot and bringing in the alternate or to keep it intact. My strong preference would be to try to keep it intact and start Wednesday, but I have to make a decision whether that's the most efficient use of resources and time and their time at this point. So. I'll give that some consideration tonight and make a decision tomorrow.
And, Your Honor, just so we can, like, address one thing quickly, the state, if they ever knew,
All right, speak into the microphone.
Yeah.
I don't want another call from recording.
Once we get to the defense case, the state would be inclined, we would want to renew our objection to Kellen McCoy, which is the teacher, as being cumulative. They did ask about that very, she's the one that testifies that she works at Immaculate Heart, where Ronan went into the classroom and embarrassed his sister. They did ask the Ronan about that on the stand. He did admit that happened. That's not an issue in dispute. And so it would be cumulative at this point, in cumulative bad character evidence, to call a witness just to reiterate the same thing.
Okay. All right. So I'll address that when it comes up. You had something you need to add, Mr. Wade?
Yes. This is more on scheduling, really. If I heard right, the court said Tuesday or Thursday?
Yeah.
Or Tuesday and Thursday, I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's all in flux because I've got to make a decision what I do with juror number five, because if I decide to do everything possible to keep her in the original panel, that means we would have to start Wednesday instead of Tuesday. And I might do that. But
what would be the state's preference?
Start Tuesday?
No.
That's kind of the way I'm leaning, only because I know the thought and consideration that goes into both sides' decisions with respect to the original panel of six. I assume would that be your preference as well?
No, honestly, and part of the reason is because obviously it's delays is one of the issues. And I think there's three alternates. So I'll be honest with you,
You don't have a position strongly one way or the other?
At the moment, I would rather keep it moving than that. One of the reasons, judges, I actually have on the 12th, which is Thursday next week, a whole day of death penalty oral argument set. So that's just something that is looming for me.
Well, I don't even want to tell you the amount of rescheduling I'm going to have to do as well. So I'll make a decision tomorrow, and so I give them clarity as to what's going to happen. So the last thing, near and dear to everyone's heart, jury instructions. I don't think I need jury instructions until whatever first day we start back next week. So just keep that in mind. Anything else? We'll get that tomorrow. That'll be done before we start the defense case. Okay. All right, good. I'll see everybody tomorrow for an 8:30 sharp start time. Thank you. Court is in recess.
There's more to come.
Kid in a cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Press subscribe now.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.